listening to a sermon from New Life Church in Guernsey. We hope you're blessed and encouraged by this message.
Well, this morning, I want to tell you a story about a 0 bytes file. It's a true story, and it's a recent story. It isn't a particularly good story, although it did start in a very good place. And here it is. 2 weeks ago, we had a wonderful baby dedication service right here at New Life Church. And I'm sure that if you were here with us on that morning, you will agree that it was a very good service indeed. Being the kind of service that it was, we specially wanted to reflect the whole service by recording it so that those who weren't able to be here, we know that many folk were, in Mauritius, and so we wanted to record the service so that they could experience what had happened in the service to some degree. However, this is the not-so-good part of the story. We had a technological disaster, and for one reason or another, the entire audio file of the service that we had recorded became corrupted and showed up as a 0-byte file. Now, if you know anything at all about computers, you know that no computer file should ever show up as having 0 bytes. But there are certain cases in which, if a file has been corrupted, that you can repair that file or that the lost data can be found. And so both Jason and I set about researching possible solutions, and having tried a number of alternatives, we eventually bought some computer software that made a money-back guarantee claim that it could recover whatever was lost. So we bought the software, and nothing. After communicating with the software developers and trying everything that they suggested, they eventually sent this message: the data is completely corrupted beyond repair. Well, friends, this morning we're going to be thinking about humanity and the fall, and the true story just told lends itself to an illustration. Just as we had a very good service 2 weeks ago, the Bible tells us that humanity was created in God's image, and when God created humanity, he called his creation very good. These things are described in the first chapter of our Bibles. Just as the recording was supposed to reflect what happened in this service, we were created to reflect who God is. But just as the recording of the service became completely corrupted beyond repair, all of humanity became completely corrupted beyond repair by the fall. Within this morning's service sermon, we'll begin by remembering that God is the creator and that he called his creation very good. And secondly, we'll look at how God's creation has become corrupted. Thirdly, while we cannot recreate the lost audio file of that service, we'll note that in Christ, the Almighty Creator God can completely recreate us. And then in line with our current series, we'll briefly consider the FIEC doctrinal statements on humanity and the fall, ending with a brief application to bring it all together. Well, let's have a brief moment of prayer. Father, as we consider these things, as we consider what we have to learn from your word, God, we ask that you would show us more of who you are and also more of who you have called us to be in you as those who have been lovingly created by you and given a plan and a purpose by you, God, we ask that you would indeed speak to our hearts. In the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our first point this morning is that which God created was called very good. As many of us are well aware, these words are clearly stated in Genesis chapter 1 and in verse 31. Having created male and female in his own image, we know from verse 27, verse 31 reads, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Besides the sheer goodness of all the good gifts around us that have been sent from heaven above, this means that creation is designed to reflect the goodness of God. And even though not everything is as it should be because of sin, Romans chapter 1 verse 20 points out that God's invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. In other words, nobody can honestly say that they didn't realize that there was a God, because it's plainly obvious as we look at the wonder of creation, as we think about the wonder of life, of what it means to be a human living being, we absolutely should recognize that there is a God. Psalm 19 verse 1, as and in another biblical example that speaks about these things, says something similar. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. How many of us have been out in the night sky and looked up and thought, wow, God is so great? And that's the right response for us to have. The Psalms also help us see this very thing, that the wonder of creation, including the wonder of being a living, breathing human being, should move us not to pride, but to worship. Think about Psalm 139, verse 13 and 14 say this, "For you formed my inward parts, you knit me together in my mother's womb." And then the psalmist goes on to respond to the wonder of these things. "I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well." So are we moved to praise when we think about the wonder of creation, of the wonder of life itself? God called creation very good. Do we see the goodness of creation? Do we see the goodness of God in the creation? And does it move us to worship him? As we move to our second point, on the other hand, like that 0 bytes file, many parts of creation, including the depths of our own heart, unless we've been rescued by Jesus, don't reflect the goodness of God. And our second point is that which God created became corrupted. Speaking of those who are not moved to worshiping the true God when they experience the wonders of creation, Paul says the following, "Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things." And in verse 25, Paul identifies such folk as that they have exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the creator. So we see the wonder of creation needs to point us to the creator. Some people make the vast, drastic mistake of seeing the wonder of creation and turning and worshipping creation rather than the creator. Paul says that that's utter foolishness. In similar fashion, Peter describes the opponents of the truth as scoffers who, following their own sinful desires, deliberately overlook the fact that the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God. That's 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. How foolish it is to exchange the truth about God for a lie. Now, before we spend too long pointing fingers at others, let's be sure that we're not counted among those described in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, that says, "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened." Let's remember that even if we have been rescued by Christ and are walking in the light, we too are called to be a repentant people. Although we have been eternally rescued if we belong to Jesus and will be made completely whole one day, the Bible is clear that Christians still struggle with sin. As is written in 1 John 1 verse 8, if we say we have no sin, this is John writing this, he's not saying if those people over there say, he says if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And yet in reality, I think it's quite easy for us to spot corruption in others. Especially if you're a South African, all you need to do is look toward the government and you see it all over. It's easy to spot corruption in others. This person isn't doing what they should. This person is kind of manipulating the system. It's easy to see that in others. But are we any good at recognizing the remaining strains of corruption in our own hearts? We lived in Indonesia for some time, as many of you will know. And there was a time that I was on my way to a different Indonesian, a different island to teach a group of Indonesians on the topic of worship. When I got to the island, I carefully arranged transport to get exactly where I needed to go. But strangely, the vehicle that was supposed to take me most of the way stopped in the wrong place. By this point, the person that I'd originally made the agreement with had completely disappeared. Those who've traveled know that these kinds of things happen from time to time. And for one reason or another, the driver said that he wasn't able to take me to where I needed to go. Well, in that moment, the strains of sinful corruptness in my own heart kicked into gear, and I angrily took the clipboard that he was holding and threw it on the ground. To this day, that moment makes me cringe. I'm ashamed of it, and I wish I could take it back. I was on the way to teach on worshiping God, but also throwing people's clipboards around the place. It's shocking. And I hope that you're shocked by it. But I also wonder if you have any cringeworthy moments that you can think of in your life. Perhaps today, perhaps this week. And in a way, I hope that you do, not because it's good for us to have cringeworthy moments to look back on, but because we all sin at times, and we need to learn to recognize the sin in our lives, and the sin in our lives should make us cringe. But the good news is that there is grace and mercy for you and for me at the foot of the cross, which brings us to our next point. That which God created can be recreated through Christ. Although we are corrupted beyond repair because of sin, there is one who can do the impossible in our lives. In looking forward to the coming Messiah, Jeremiah, the Old Testament prophet, knew this to be true when he said, "Our Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm." And then here's the interesting thing. He adds, "Nothing is too hard for you." It's a logical conclusion. But if we recognize that God has made all things, God has created all that we know and love, that does mean that nothing is too difficult for the Lord. That's Jeremiah 32, verse 17. And here's the thing. Surely the one who made the heavens and the earth the first time round can also cause us to become a new creation. That's exactly what happened that's exactly what 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says is the case. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." Because Christ died for us, we, the corrupted, can be fully restored. If we belong to Jesus, we can truly say that although we were completely corrupted by sin, we have been made new by Christ. And the good work that Christ has begun within us, he will complete. And next week, we're going to be considering the topics of Jesus and salvation, and we're going to be looking into this in greater depth. It's a subject that, of course, is central to every sermon that is preached. But it's also important for us to spend special time and focus on these topics, Jesus and salvation. And we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 10. And I'd encourage you to take some time during the week to read these verses. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 10. What a wonderful passage that speaks of Jesus and salvation despite our sinfulness. Now, as we know, our current preaching series is called Basic Beliefs, and we're looking at the 10 points of the FIEC doctrinal statement, that the doctrinal basis that can be found on the notice board at the back of the church or by going to fiec.org.uk. Last week, our topic was God and the Bible, and this week, of course, it's humanity and the fall. Now, in line with the scriptures and the things that we've been briefly considering this morning, take a moment to reflect on what the FIEC doctrinal statement says about humanity and about the fall. Regarding humanity, it says this: "All men and women, being created in the image of God, have inherent and equal dignity and worth. Their greatest purpose is to obey, worship, and love God. God created us male and female, which is identified by our biological sex. Marriage is the exclusive union of one man and one woman, and is a picture of the relationship between Christ and his bride, the church. Sexual intimacy is a gift from God to be enjoyed only within the context of marriage." And then about the fall: "As a result of the fall of our first parents, every aspect of human nature has been corrupted, and all men and women are without spiritual life, guilty sinners, and hostile to God. Every person is therefore under the just condemnation of God and needs to be born again, forgiven and reconciled to God in order to know and please him." Unsurprisingly, we haven't had the time to cover every aspect of these statements in today's sermon, but As was mentioned last week, if there's anything within these statements that's unfamiliar or confusing to you, please do come and have a conversation with me or with one of the other elders about it, as we'd love to discuss these things further with you. Especially when it comes to issues around gender and sexuality, there are a lot of different ideas floating around these days, and many of these ideas stand in stark contrast to the truths presented to us in our Bibles. And in the end, when it comes to many of these ideas, we need to decide whether we're going to be wise in our own eyes and in the eyes of a fallen society, like those that Paul was referring to in Romans chapter 1, or whether we're going to honor and believe God's word and trust and walk in His good design for our lives. As we draw to a close, let's take a moment to bring everything together. If God created us and said that His creation was very good, as reflected in Psalm 139, that means that we are wonderfully made. And yet, because of the fall, humanity is also very bad, because we have become awfully corrupted by sin. So on the one hand, we have the fact that we're very good because we've been wonderfully made. God has called the creation very good. We've been wonderfully made. On the other hand, we're very bad because we've been awfully corrupted by sin. And as already considered this morning, even if we have been made new in Christ, the Bible explains that we will still struggle with sinful human nature until the day that we enter eternal glory. Now, why is it important for us to recognize both of these things, that humanity is very good and very bad? I think it's important so that while knowing that we are deeply loved by God, we neither think too poorly nor too highly of ourselves or of any other person. Let me explain a little further. Be it a leader, a spouse, a child, or any other person, really, sometimes we expect too much of others. And then we quickly think poorly of them when they don't live up to our expectations. Often we expect too much of ourselves too, forgetting that each one of us has a fallen nature and none of us are going to get it right all of the time. We're all going to get it wrong from time to time. And when others fail us, we do well to forgive. Ephesians 4, verse 32 is one of the passages, one of the verses that reflects this so clearly. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 to 13 says the same thing, as do many other scriptures. And of ourselves, we need to accept that we're not always going to get it right either. And yet His grace is sufficient. We need to remember that each one of us has been wonderfully made by God and is loved by Him. Just by way of reflection, do we need to forgive someone this morning? Remembering that they are wonderfully made, even if they've let us down. Or do we need to accept the Lord's forgiveness today for ourselves? 1 John 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it's important that we don't think too poorly of ourselves or any other person, because we've all been wonderfully made by God, and His grace is sufficient. But it's also important that we don't think too highly of ourselves or of any other person, because we all need to be rescued by Jesus. It's fine to admire God-given gifts in others appropriately, but we're not to idolize any other person or to put other people on pedestals, forgetting that they are a fellow sinner. And we're also not to think of ourselves as great either. Even the disciples were arguing about who was the greatest among them, so it's very likely that we're going to do something similar from time to time. According to the Gospels, it seems that this argument about who was the greatest arose on a number of occasions, including just before Jesus washed the disciples' feet, demonstrating what true leadership is all about. It's about having a servant heart. It's not about trying to be the greatest. I think the solution to all of this is that we need to learn to see ourselves and others as God sees us and as God sees others. We've been wonderfully made, but we are all in desperate need of a Savior. And that Savior, Christ Jesus, our Lord, is the only perfect human who has ever been and will ever be in this life. He is truly great and greatly to be praised. May we all know His grace and His mercy in our hearts and in our lives. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to find out more about our church or would like us to pray for you, we'd love for you to get in contact with us via our website. And if you're in Guernsey and you don't already belong to a church, you're really welcome to join us this Sunday at New Life Church.